Well, it's our opportunity tonight to give you a brief update about how things are going in the church, what has happened so far this year, and what we have to look forward to in the rest of the year, just to give you sort of a speed bump, if you will, in the middle of the year to let you know what the Lord's doing. It's very encouraging, actually. As you look at what we're trying to accomplish as a church, all of the ministries you're going to hear me talk about in just a moment fall into some way these essentials. They're involved in worship or Bible study or prayer, fellowship, service, and evangelism, with the goal of deepening in our love for God and others and in our growth and personal holiness. That's what the church is about. That's what we as individuals should be about. So as you see these ministries, they connect back to these overarching goals that you see and hear from time to time each month. Let me begin with our worship, and specifically with the teaching and the worship services. I've enjoyed the journey through the rest of Ephesians 5 and into chapter 6 this year. We started in 5:15, so don't let anybody tell you that we started in chapter 6 this year. It was before that. And we're moving on into that last section of Ephesians. Did some special messages along the way. You can be in prayer for me as we look forward to what comes after this. I think after Ephesians, I'm going to do a special series on the influence of the world's views, the worldviews and thinking on our minds as believers in specific ways. And then from there, I'll look at another book study, but I haven't landed for sure yet. I've considered the book of 1 John. We'll just have to see. And then in the evening, of course, we've been in the Gospel of Mark and will continue to be for the foreseeable future. This fall, all of the ministries will crank back up. The children's ministry on September 12th. And of course, with that, all of the Sunday school and Awana, the home fellowships, the women's Bible studies, the Foundations Young Marriage Group, and all of the other ministries, Titus 2 and so forth, will begin with the startup of the fall. Along with that, of course, comes the home fellowships. And this year, the home fellowships are going to be studying Titus and 2 Peter. If you are already involved in a home fellowship or would like to be, you have the options of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. And as you can see there, 14 different locations across the Metroplex. So I would encourage you to connect with one of those small groups. That's especially true if you're newer to our church family. You need to connect at a smaller group level to get to know some people and build some relationships. It's hard to do that just attending the worship services. Some new ministries that have begun and are beginning. First of all, we're excited about the single young adults ministry that began this year, and it's thriving. And so those of you who are involved in that, I know, have experienced that, and I hear great reports. The adult Sunday school, we're going to be beginning this fall a class design for those who are involved in our International Friends ministry, who are not English speakers as a first language, but rather as a second language. So it'll have to be made to fit, and obviously the vocabulary and all of those things will have to be suited to that class, but we're excited about having that available. As you know, we're reaching out to our soldiers. Those packets that we have given toward will be going out, Lord willing, in the month of August, so you can be in prayer about that. The Heritage Ministry is taking care of organizing and making sure those all get out. In terms of local outreach, we have begun a relationship with the Union Gospel Mission, and you've seen and read about that in your bulletin, as well as the Roanoke Food Pantry. And so just practical ways for us to reach out into the community to those who are needy in our area. We're shortly going to have a kids' basketball clinic, using the gym to try to not only encourage our own families, but to reach out to other families. So that's another exciting thing. Along with that, the gym nights. So it's a great tool that we're not only able to use for our church family, but to reach out as well. The midweek ministries will crank up with the fall, the women's Bible study. Last year they did Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. This coming year, Before the Throne of God, the Titus 2 groups will crank up. And then don't forget the Wednesday evening ministries, Foundations, the Young Married groups, all the children's choirs, youth, and the college. And on Thursday morning, the International Friends, and on Monday night, Ladies BSF meets here at the church. Special events so far this year, we had, of course, our conference, and I'll talk more about that in just a moment, the Sola Conference, Sola Gratia by Grace Alone. along with the Soul of Kids ministry. The ladies sponsored a couple of ministries, including the Newcomers Coffee and the Women's Spring Fellowship event. We had our all-church picnic in May, which was very well attended, and had a great time out at Bear Creek Park, those of you who were able to come. And then VBS, a huge turnout for our Vacation Bible School, and I'll come back to that in a moment. As we anticipate this fall, here are some of the events we're looking forward to. Coming up just tomorrow night's the skate night. I hope if you're able, you'll plan to be there. And then next Sunday, I've mentioned the ministry fair. Coming up in early September is the all-church barbecue and concert. That's always a highlight, and we've got a great musician scheduled for this year, as well as the barbecue. So plan to be with us on September 5th. Countryside Fair is coming up, Operation Christmas Child, where we put the shoeboxes together for the kids around the world. Thanksgatherings, the week before Thanksgiving, the Sunday night before Thanksgiving, and then the Christmas concert series in December. Those are some of the events that are coming up the rest of the year. Now this year, our conference was Sola Gratia. Just to let those of you know who are newer to our church family, we've had a five-year conference series on the great solas of the Reformation, those great rallying cries of the Reformation. This year it was Sola Gratia, by grace alone. This coming year, it's going to be the final of the five solas, to God alone the glory, Soli Deo Gloria. And we're excited about it. It's February 11 through 13, so block out your calendar, mark that, plan to be with us. You will not want to miss the folks that are coming to be with us. Richard Phillips will be back. We so much enjoyed his ministry this last year, and so he'll be back with us this coming conference, as well as Dr. Bruce Ware, who's spoken in this pulpit a number of times, and I know those of you who've heard him enjoy his ministry of the Word from Southern Seminary. And Pastor Jerry Ragg, who was a friend of mine and a co-worker out at Grace Community Church. He was, before me, involved in helping John. And then, in addition to that, John MacArthur has agreed to be with us this coming year as well, to sort of complete our Sola Conference series. This is what the schedule looks like. On Friday night, Rick Phillips will be preaching. On Saturday morning, he and Bruce Ware and Jerry Ragg. And then on Sunday morning, we'll have Sunday school's options available. And then the worship services, John will be preaching all day in all of the worship services. So you will not want to miss that. Plan to be here, let others know about it. That's coming up February 11 through 13. Another major part of our church life has to do with our missions, both local and international. Here are just a few of the highlights. I want to say a special word of thanks to Tom Beswick, who served as the elder over missions for many years. But this year, Brian Chandler has taken over that responsibility. And in the ministry there, we've added, approved as new missionaries, Mark and Katie Scarborough, who are here with us, and Dwayne and Marilyn Gibson, who've been our missionaries for many years. Just a quick update on them. Some of you may have wondered about this. They are no longer able to travel into Mexico, so instead the pastors are having to travel to them because of the situation down there on the border and beyond. And so they're continuing to do counseling, materials. We're sending them materials to aid their ministry, and we're also helping with the wife of a pastor down there who had a medical situation that, apart from our intervention, would have unnecessarily created blindness, and so we're happy to be intervening in that. Rhonda Thorne received $1,500 from us to distribute 500 Bibles that are printed in one of the dialects there, so we're excited about that ministry. And then Gus Matero, it's hard to believe Gus is still going strong, but he is. He just had his trip to Siberia and traveled by a four-wheel vehicle since the boat situation didn't work out quite the way that it had been prearranged, evangelizing. Sammy and Nicole Williams, who are our missionaries, two of our missionaries in India, moved from Pune, India to Goa, India. That's now where the pastor's training center has been relocated. So you can be in prayer for them. Number of short-term groups have ministered. Our high school group, in a couple of ways, through the Grapevine Feed Our Kids the Truth ministry in March. And again in July, they went up and did VBS, just got back. actually yesterday from Colorado up at Jake Wyatt's church doing VBS up there, and I heard great reports about that. A number of individuals took short-term missions trips. Mary Van Hall went down to El Paso. She had been going across the border, but again, with the situation, she went to El Paso and was able to use her medical skills for the benefit of people down there, as well as sharing the gospel. Gaynell Newport to West Africa and the ministry that they have there. Seth Jackson to Ukraine in July. And then Dallas Turner, Charlie and Diane Yates, and Dusty Burris went to Kenya over a portion of June and early July. And we were able to help a pastor there, as you can see. Doug and Michelle Briggs are here for a little longer than a year, actually, for about 15 months on a furlough as they get their kids established in school. And Doug is preaching. He's preached here, and they're able to be close to us as well. The Lord answered our prayers, and a house was found that they could kind of house-sit, if you will, over the next 15 months, and so we're excited about that. And then I mentioned Mark and Katie Scarborough. They're here, involved, and at the same time actively raising their support to be able to go to Lebanon and help establish the pastor training center there. They were featured in our Vacation Bible School, those of you who were here and a part of that. As far as local missions, these continue. We don't tell you a lot about them all the time, but do be in prayer about them, and maybe, you know, as you go through the ministry fair, you'll connect this coming weekend. The Kids Beach Club in one of the local elementary schools, an after-school community outreach. Our Christmas concert series, the International Friends at Countryside, will crank up with the new year, as I mentioned. We're adding a class on government and citizenship for those folks. And of course, the other classes that we've had before, including English as a second language. And that ministry has just continued to grow. Very exciting to see how the Lord's using that. Ernie Black continues to reach out, particularly to McFadden Ranch, but to Youth Village and other facilities as well. And I know some of you are involved there with him. Our youth missions, I've already mentioned the high school. The college is involved and in May sent materials down to Mexico for their VBS and to help them with that. So those ministries continue. And then our medical team outreach. Some of you may not be aware of this. If you're new to our church and doctor or nurse, through Grace of Grapevine, we staff a clinic one night each month. And so that's an exciting opportunity for you to be involved in. That last bullet there shouldn't be under medical team outreach. That's my mistake. It's a missions emphasis station that we're putting down in the summer children's Sunday school just to sort of challenge them and encourage them about missions. The Word Unleashed, the radio station that we were on was the second best in the market here in Dallas next to KCBI. We've investigated KCBI, but their schedule is very full, and they don't really air other programs other than a couple of the programs they air during the week. They air on the weekend, so it's been very difficult in pursuing that. But what we're doing is pursuing a web-based ministry. We've gotten a lot of feedback and response via the web, and so a new website is in process, and we're going to find ways to those who are working on it, to expose that ministry to others. We'll keep you updated as that happens. A couple of staff changes. We're sad to say goodbye to Megan Fowler. We did that just this last week. She's been a great help, but she has a desire and training to teach school down in Arlington in a special charter school down there that was originally founded for the deaf, and she's going to continue to work on her master's degree. So she's left our staff, but joining us is Dusty Burris as an associate pastor and Pam Snyder as an administrative assistant. And just a couple of little changes as we add an associate pastor, since that's what Rocky was called before. Just to make the differentiations clear, we've changed a few titles. I'll take the biblical title of pastor teacher, and Rocky, senior associate pastor, and Justin Turner will be called youth pastor, which he really is and functions as in his ministry. Just those are just clarifying changes, nothing substantively changing other than the title. Well, we made the goal of completing the children's building, and that was certainly a huge milestone this year. You remember the opening that we had meeting there in the gym on April 18th, dedicating that building. And then on the 19th, an all-church open gym night. Just to give you an update on the finances related to that building, the original estimated cost of the building was $5.5 million. And this almost never happens, but I'm happy to report to you that the actual cost ended up being less than that, $5.33 million. We raised a little over $3 million. We financed just a little over $2 million. And so our goal is to continue to see that whittle down. We don't want that number to be there. And we're going to continue to ask all of us to give toward retiring that balance. There'll be two special offerings coming up this year to do that. So if you can be in prayer about that and considering how you can participate both in September and in December. And we'll keep you posted on the dates for that. Is the building being used? The answer is absolutely. Those of you involved in the children's ministry know this. We had our first Sunday of Sunday school, I should say, in the children's building on April 25th, the Sunday after the dedication. And then in early May, the high school began meeting in the gymnasium. And then in July, it got certainly christened for the summer when 270 Vacation Bible School students were here, along with about 150 workers. It was the main place where all of that took place. So it really has become a great tool, and all of those workers that I talked to just were breathing a sigh of relief about the fact that there was space finally to minister to those kids, and it made it so much easier. Of course, a variety of other uses as well. Coming soon in the gym, the 3rd through 6th grade basketball clinic coming up on August 14th, so you've heard about that, seen it in the bulletin, plan to be a part of that. We're also adding an electronic check-in system for children's ministries late this summer. We want to continue to make sure we have systems in place to guard and protect our kids. And so we'll have an electronic check-in system that we're looking at later this summer that'll streamline as well as be a wonderful tool to guard and protect those precious treasures that God's given us. Our Awana and children's choirs are going to be meeting in the children's building this fall, which will be a good fit. And we're starting as well a midweek play day for moms and children in the jungle gym. We'll keep you posted on that. But those are just some ways we're looking at using that new facility. Speaking of facilities, just a couple of projects to mention to you. There have been several that have already been completed in addition to the new building. The new prayer room has been completed. You can kind of stick your head and look in the window there at some point and see what's been done just across the hallway over here. Just makes it more convenient for those people that want to go to the prayer room than having to take them upstairs and up in that small little place up top there. It works so much better. Also, a new Countryside Connection room, its own room now where we don't have to move things in and out, and we can use that room for other things as we already have. And that's down in the north building. You can see that room if you'd like at some point. A wonderful little area there off of the overflow, the video overflow. And then I think we've all benefited and enjoyed the new courtyard. Isn't that great? That is a wonderful addition to our church and to the landscaping to sort of guide us down there. In fact, I have to tell you a little antidote. There was a new family at our VBS, and my wife happened to be walking behind this mother and her daughter. This was their first time at Countryside, and they were coming for Vacation Bible School on the first morning. And Sheila was walking behind them, and she heard, I think, little 5-6-year-old girl say to her mother, "Now I know why they call it Vacation Bible School, because this place looks like someplace you'd go on vacation." So thank you to all of those who were involved in it. It is it's a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful thing. You know, our God, I don't want to get to preaching here, but I will just say, I don't think we fully appreciate the reality that our God is a God of beauty. He surrounded us and His whole creation with beauty. It's a reflection of who He is. Now, obviously, you can go overboard with that, some of the great, expensive cathedrals, etc., but I think most American Christians don't go quite far enough, meeting in warehouses and the whole surrounding not being attractive and beautiful. So I really appreciate that. In process, the expanded bookstore, the expanded library I mentioned this morning, and some new office space. That's what this construction is. going on out here. Now that we have the space to do it, since our kids have the space they need. A couple of benevolence and care updates. I love the fact that our church is involved in this on an ongoing basis. And again, this isn't something that you see or hear about a lot, but you need to know that this is part of our heart because it's part of the heart of God. You know, James 1 says, this is pure and undefiled religion, to care for the needy. And so we have a chance to do that. And sometimes there are people who are perpetually needy. Sometimes there are people who are needy because of a temporary circumstance. And we're happy to be able to do that. In the fiscal year to date, we've extended help to 81 different times to people in our church family, 18 times in the community, and 7 times internationally. We've dispensed about $65,000, right at $66,000, for benevolence. Some specific examples: you gave generously to the Briggs Clinic, $19,000, the Burkina Faso Relief, the Christar Bibles that I mentioned a moment ago with Rhonda Thorne, the Haiti Relief, $19,000, the Christmas gifts for Youth Village, a couple of $1,000s, and then there's some sample categories just to see you the kinds, to show you the kinds of things that those monies go to help. And then the last item there is not benevolence, but it's ongoing care. And this would be a ministry, if you're not involved in, I would encourage you to consider. We have a ministry called Baskets of Blessings that helps those who've had surgeries and other things, meals for new moms, as well as those who help provide meals for comfort and care for funerals as families are having that experience. And this year, about 255 meals have been provided through those ministries to families in our church. And so that's a wonderful thing as well. Brief couple of slides about the financial situation, just to give you an update. This is the general fund. October 9th, our fiscal year begins October. And so this is October of 09 through July of this year. And the contributions, as you can see, are 1.396. The ministry expenditures, 1.358, leaving an excess of contributions of about $38,000 in the general fund. And then when you look, of course, at all the funds, which includes the building and other things, you can see that margin is greater. But again, those monies in many cases have been spoken for, have been designated. But that gives you a picture that God has blessed our church. We need to continue to be faithful, but it's wonderful to see how God's goodness has been manifested even through these difficult financial times. I put this verse up all the time because I think, you know, we've just gone through that passage where Jesus tells Peter this. Peter has made his confession, really speaking for all the apostles, you are the Christ. There's no doubt in our minds. And Jesus immediately says on the heels of that, I want you to know that I'm not here to build a political kingdom. Not this time. I came this time, Jesus says, to build a spiritual kingdom. And at the heart of that spiritual kingdom is the church. That's really what this is about. We are merely one expression, one local expression of the church that Christ promised to build. But we rejoice in the reality that we are an expression of that, and that He is building His church, even here and through us. And none of us take credit for that. It's Christ who's building His church. And we are not building. As my mentor so often said, Christ promised to build a church, and we don't want to be in competition with Him. So we rejoice that He's doing that, and we get to simply be a part of it. So I hope you're encouraged. I certainly am, as I see this and go through it with you, to see what the Lord's doing here, to contemplate the ministries you'll see this next Sunday at our ministry fair. This is not even a good sampling of all the ministries you'll see this next week. It's really encouraging to me, and to see your response to the truth as well. So I just need to say to you that you bring me and the elders great joy. You just need to know that. We serve gladly and with joy because of your faithfulness, your love of the truth, your love of each other, and your generosity. It really is an amazing thing. And we're just grateful to be here and to be a part of this body of Christ. So thank you so much. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing and transition to our message. Father, we are amazed at your goodness, at your faithfulness. Lord, you have promised to build your church. And we realize that we are only one small part of that reality, but we thank you that we can rejoice as we see that here, as we experience that here. And Father, not a single person here takes any credit for that. We give all the glory and all the credit to Christ, who promised to build his church and who's doing it through his word and through his spirit, through the resources that he's provided the church. Father, we thank you and praise you. We ask that you would help all of us to be faithful. Guard and protect our hearts. Lord, may our devotion to Christ not waver. May our commitment to the truth never slacken. And Father, I pray that we would be faithful until Christ comes or until you call us home. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.